Illinois.
This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 430. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Alibaba and their groundbreaking conference for small business owners that want access to 500 million Chinese consumers. It's called Gateway 17, and it's happening on June 21st and 22nd in Detroit. And I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to, of course, to my mother, Carol, my wife, Sarah, and, of course, my mother-in-law, Debbie. And, Joe, if you're listening, now would be a good time to buy her flowers through one of our sponsors, Bloom That, at bloomthat.com. Well, on today's show, it seems like the sales environment is getting tougher than ever. Is this true, or is it something that every sales rep in every generation says? Well, my next guest actually has a better solution. Tim Sanders is former Chief Solutions Officer for Yahoo and the author of four books, one of my favorites being Love is the Killer App. He's got a new book out on sales collaboration called Deal Storming, the secret weapon that can solve your toughest sales challenge. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be with you, Barry.
So now, is the sales challenge tougher than ever, or is that just a cop-out for every sales rep that's not meeting their quota?
I think it's tougher than ever, and the biggest reason why, Barry, is that the buyer is empowered. The buyer is empowered by the World Wide Web to do their own research, and most experts would tell you that when you as a sales rep finally get that meeting with the buyer prospect, they're about two-thirds through the buying journey. You either have to unteach them or you have to overcome all the competitors they've already found. And this is especially acute if you sell a B2B product because, Barry, there's not just one decision maker anymore. CEB, a big research company, says there's about 6 to 7, and many of them you'll never get in front of. So it's a very challenging environment today.
So it seems like the salesperson doesn't even stand a chance because the person you're meeting with has already done all this work, right? And then you not only have to convince them, you got to convince these five other people. What's a salesperson to do?
Well, I think the issue here is we have to think of a sale as a lot of problems solved, not one big pitch, not one big close. And your competitor is the status quo, because our research says most of the time the decision is no decision. So as a salesperson,
exactly,
what you've got to do is you've got to get into an account, find a champion. This is someone who is respected in the organization. They feel the urgency that they need to make a change. It's not necessarily they're a fan of you. They're credible, and they want to see a change happen. You need to prepare that champion, train them like a rep on their first day so they can sell on your behalf. And whenever possible, Barry, create some artistic way for them to explain you simply. It could be a story. It could be a metaphor or an analog. But don't rely on facts and figures because it gets lost in translation.
Well, I think you brought up a bunch of really interesting points, because I think salespeople have to realize what they're competing with not so much is a competitor, but they're competing with doing nothing. And I love your idea that you have to find someone in an organization that's going to be a champion for change, because if they're committed to making a change, you have more of a chance that you can win over nothing, right?
That's right. And here's the secret tip here for salespeople. When you go into a company and there's several people sitting around the table and you make a presentation and it has to do with change, someone in that room may appear to be very skeptical, and she may interrupt you and press you to prove something, press you to explain something better, and be a little bit skeptical. Don't confuse that with the blocker who's trying to defend an incumbent. The skeptic is the number one champion that can help you win. Respect that person. Answer her questions, ask for a follow-up conversation, stick with it, because if you win the skeptic is the most credible person in the organization. The skeptic will go to battle for you, and you will win.
And I love this idea, Tim, that you have to be able to to help the change maker by giving them some kind of story or anecdote to tell, because we find so many times the salesperson says, well, I had a really great meeting with the person I met with, but then when they went to the other decision makers, it fell apart.
Yeah, it does, because it's hard for someone to explain a value proposition, right? It's complicated. It's easy to drop a fact. I'll give you an example of when I use this. So, for example, I talk about this in the book. When I was at Yahoo, the world changed in terms of how people bought digital advertising, and overnight they don't buy impressions like, say, radio today, where you cover a lot of people for a cost. They only wanted to buy clicks. Mm-hmm. And we had a hard time convincing the agencies and the customers that they really got value from a display ad, even if no one clicked. So finally, dude, we come up with this analogy of the iceberg. Everything above the water is a click. Everything below the water is a brand impression or a repeat impression that can trigger the purchase later. And we had statistics that illustrated that inside the iceberg. And we warned people, you know, never confuse a floating piece of ice with an iceberg.
Right,
just
exactly.
Ask the folks who drove the Titanic.
Exactly.
And we explained that if you don't see what's below the water as an advertiser, you're going to get beat by your competitors who do. And guess what? That sold us forward. It simplified the selling proposition. And I'll say, I didn't come up with it. Six people in a deal-storming meeting came up with it by collaborating, sales, marketing, and even a few of our other little business partners that came together.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's how when I came up with my brand, Getting Unstuck, people could visualize, oh, yeah, I'm stuck, and I didn't come up with that. Mike Michalowicz, who I think you know, came up with that. So it really helps to visualize that. Well, tell us, how does deal-storming actually help this process?
Well, deal storming is the act of bringing together several people who have either a stake in the outcome or expertise about your problem and creating an environment where ideas can come from anywhere, but we debate to figure out the next play. You don't have to be at a big company to deal storm. In fact, what I've learned, and this should be very relevant to your listeners, small companies can gain the upper hand by using the deal storming method. And here's why. As a small company, you've got friends. You've got suppliers you do business with, you've got competimates that you've met at trade associations, and you have other business owners in your community. If you'll create standing alliances, I will help you, you will help me, you can create a very diverse team of thinkers that have all kinds of disciplines, marketing, operations, sales. You come together, and when you come up with an idea, say it's a really out-of-the-box idea. I work with one small business that's in the accounting space. Their big idea is when they put their accounting solution in place at a customer, they wouldn't have a contract.
Mm-hmm.
No need for a contract, because that was what holding them up, and that's what H&R Block and everybody else wanted on this corporate deal. They said, instead, they don't pay the bill, we'll turn it off. Well, that's really crazy, right? But that's going to win the deal. Only a small business can execute that. If you worked at that big company, you'd have to get 15 layers of permission. So the agility of a small business combined with the innovation of collaboration, that's a winning hand. And I have multiple illustrations in the book about how all kinds of small businesses, from architects to attorneys, have been able to leverage deal storming to win.
So Tim, are you building teams inside your business, or are you building partnerships and teams outside your business to win the deal?
Really depends on how big your business is and how well-resourced you are. Think about it this way. You're building a team to solve a problem. And the reason that your suppliers are going to care is because if you win, they win, right? The reason some of your friends in the market are going to care is because you've established a relationship with them. Now, some of you listening, you say, well, I can do that all inside. Well, here's what I want you to remember. You want to bring together at least three different disciplines or perspectives in order to really unleash creativity. So maybe someone from sales, someone from marketing, and maybe someone from another department like finance or customer service. They all have different ways of seeing the world. They all have different ways of thinking about constraints and best practices. But when you bring them together, you create this diversity, this rich Petri dish of new ideas. Don't just bring three people from sales into the room. That's not a deal storm. That's a silo.
And so who leads that meeting, and what form does it actually take when you actually do it?
So let's say you're doing a meeting comprised just of people inside your company that you brought together. I'd like to see the account executive, who ultimately has to win that deal, run that meeting. They can do it. they need to really train themselves a little bit, and there's a lot of resources for that. But I think it's an incredible development opportunity for them. Now, their manager or the owner or whomever may be the sponsor of that meeting. That's a role. The sponsor's in the back of the room being able to answer hard questions and make promises about resources, but the AE runs this. Now, if you're building a team that involves people outside your companies like suppliers and partners, and you're a small business and that's why you're doing it, I think the owner should run that meeting because the owner can represent the company to people outside the room.
Well, Tim, this is really fantastic advice. I know several people that have implemented with a lot of success your methodology. Where can people get a copy of the book? It's called Deal Storming, the Secret Weapon That Can Solve Your Toughest Sales Challenges.
Oh, you're going to love this, Barry. You can get it at timsanders.com/businessinsanity.
Fantastic.
I'll say it again.
Timsanders.com/businessinsanity. Fantastic. Tim, thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Coming up, one of Chicago's favorite entrepreneurs, Jay Goltz. This is AM 560, The Answer.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. Outbound Edens at Wilson, the on-ramp remains closed after an earlier crash. And also on the Kennedy heading outbound, it's closed between Armitage and Fullerton after ongoing police activity. Stevenson outbound heavy between Kedzie and Pulaski. That's because of an earlier crash. Lakeshore Drive to the Tri-State is 28 to 355 takes 38. Also on Lakeshore Drive, southbound between 18th and the Stevenson, roadway is reduced down to three lanes. Northbound between 31st and the Stevenson, the roadway is reduced down to three lanes. Tri-State southbound between 75th and Archer, there's construction on that bridge. And again, on the Kennedy outbound, it's closed between Armitage and Fullerton because of ongoing police activity. Tonight, 48 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 75 and partly cloudy. Currently 58 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
There's been a lot of talk recently about fake news, and it's gotten a lot harder to know who in the media you can trust. Too often, reading just the headlines can be misleading. You need to turn to a place that you can trust, a place that gives you more than just the headlines and more than just the mainstream media spin. What you need are answers. That's why we're here. Get the latest news. Find out what it means and why it's important to you. Real news, real answers. Join us on AM 560, The Answer.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
Dr. Amy has really helped me. After experiencing a divorce in my 50s, I wasn't sure how to handle the stress and changes I was about to encounter. I needed to find a new profession since my ex-husband and I had worked together at our own company, plus there were other challenges with our own grown kids, family, and friends. It was wonderful to have Dr. Amy's guidance through this difficult situation. She kept me on track and assured me I was thinking correctly. She made a very hard time easier, and I will forever be grateful. If you're going through some hard life struggles, I would highly recommend Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit DrAmyAndAssociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck more of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, when I was a younger entrepreneur, there was one guy I turned to teach me how to be a boss and run a company. I remember those early days of Jay Goltz's Boss School, where he would tell it like it actually was. An entrepreneur at heart, Jay started a picture framing business on Clybourne, Chicago, right out of NIU in 1978. Fast forward to today, the Goltz Group now employs 110 people. Jay's a CEO, speaker, blogger about business in the New York Times and Forbes, a mentor and a published author. He's got a great book called The Street Smart Entrepreneur, 133 Tough Lessons I Learned the Hard Way. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
Well, I love when you talk because you're actually one of those speakers that actually runs a small business.
Yes, I've never had a job, and I had to figure it out myself, unfortunately, because I've never even had a boss or a mentor. So I didn't get mentored. I more like got tortured for
exactly.
10 or 20 years.
So over the years, you've actually run a business. What has really changed about entrepreneurship?
Well, clearly, when I got out of school, for those people that aren't that old, you weren't supposed to go in business for yourself. You were supposed to go to law school or medical school or something. And the word entrepreneur wasn't even used. That was in 1978. You know, the 80s, that changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. So back when I graduated, everyone I told I was going to start a business looked at me like I had two heads and said, "You're going to waste your accounting degree?" And I can't tell you that I said, "I'll show you. I'm going to build a big business." I just wanted to make a living, and I liked picture framing, and I thought I could do it better than everyone else. Now, it's gone from that to entrepreneurship. If you say you're going to start your own business, they give you a parade.
Exactly.
So that's changed. The internet has obviously changed the business world dramatically. Technology has changed the business world dramatically. But this is what I find interesting. The failure rate for entrepreneurship was probably, 60 to 80% back in 1978. And now there's college degrees, there's seminars, there's books, there's tapes, there's anything you can imagine about entrepreneurship, all kinds of support things, and the failure rate's still the same thing. So, what's wrong with this picture?
So, Jay, is it so high because people see entrepreneurship as this get-rich-quick kind of thing? Because you've been in business for a very long time, and you've worked very hard to achieve your success.
I would say that a part of it is they start businesses for the wrong reasons. I've heard the phrase, "Well, I'm tired of making other people rich." Okay, well, maybe you are, but that doesn't mean you have the skill set to build your own business. I would say that the problem is that entrepreneurship requires three things. It's right out of school: marketing, management, and finance. And from my experience, the people that start businesses are usually gifted at one, really, really good at one of those three things. And they're good at the second one. And the third one, they throw up their hands and go, "Oh, yeah, I'm not good with math," or, "Oh, I'm not good with people," or, "I'm not, you know." Unfortunately, to succeed in business, you have to have a handle on all three of those things. And I'm not saying you got to be the best at all three, but at least you have to have some baseline competency in accounting, for instance, that, you know, I always say, a passionate business person where the math doesn't work is going to end up with an expensive hobby.
Right.
And that's what you see all the time. They're very passionate, which is critical, but the math has to work.
So what do you do if you're not really good at these other two things? Because I find that a lot of – I think those are great, really, three areas. I find that a lot of them don't know finance, right? A lot of them really don't know how to manage people. And, in fact, a lot of them don't know how to sell their product. They know how to create it, but they think that marketing, if I just build it, they'll come. So what do you do?
I think you have to know your weaknesses. And one thing I've noticed over the years – I mean, my business went from myself to – you know, 120,000, 240, 240, 40. Back, the average picture frame shop in America does $180,000. Now, back then, I was doing $1 million.
Wow.
After 5-6 years, and nobody was more surprised than I was. And I frankly couldn't understand why. And as I got older, I realized that I grew up in my father's dime store. It was on Armitage, right around the corner from me. And I was weaned on taking care of customers. I didn't know any different. And I took care of customers. I started a customer-driven business, and many or most of the people in the framing business, it was art-driven. It was themself-driven, and they really didn't get the concept of customer service and having better selection and all those things. So the point is, you have to know what you're not good at. And as I speak to framers now, I find the difference between me and many of them are – I spend every single day figuring out, what am I doing wrong? What can I do better? What can I improve? And they spend most of their time thinking about how great they are. And that's just not a way of improving yourself. People need to have self-awareness of what they're not good at and then shore that up.
So, Jay, quick story. So we're in New York last year. We buy this $50 print on the street in New York City. And of course, my wife wants to bring it home and get it framed. And she goes, well, I'm going to go over to Artist Frame Service, your place. And I said, why do you want to go there? She goes, simply they're the best and they know what they're talking about and they're going to get it so it looks the best. So I think you've really achieved your goal in that area.
Well, and thank you. And I also have my home store, Jason Home, has got a national presence now. We do a lot on the internet. And I basically, you know, my line is connected by design. We not only have more interesting, cool products there, but I have people that have been around. My average employee has been with me for 5 years, has been with me for 10 years.
Wow.
That's the average. 110 people, the average tenure is 10 years. So, you know, customer service is all but died out there in retail because these big companies are run by spreadsheets now, and there's no merchants involved, and they've got part-time employees which never get trained well, and they are constantly revolving. And I still think there's a room in the world for both new school and old school, which is, you know, take care of customers.
And so how have you gotten, because it's especially in this better job economy, so many people leave the company that they're at. How do you get the people to stay? Why have they stayed so long?
I went from being really bad at hiring to figuring it out. And one of the things I figured out over the years was I need people who are mission-driven, that are passionate about what we do, that want to be around art, that want to frame art, that want to sell furniture, that want to do design, that they're into what they're doing. And I avoid people, or I make sure it starts with the ad. I put ads out that attract the right people. People like working here. We treat them well, and they're on a good mission. They enjoy taking care of customers, and I don't put them between a rock and a hard place. Every company says, oh, take care of customers, do whatever you have to do, but then they don't, and they don't back up the employee. So the employee ends up getting caught between the mad customer and the management says, no, we're not going to do anything about it, and I back up my employee. So, A, they're customer-driven, they're passionate about what we do, and three, we have a nice work environment.
Yeah, I also think, Jay, you tell it like it is, right? You're the same person, right, in and out of work, right? You're totally honest with people, and it is what it is. So I think a lot of owners try to be something else.
Well, and I'll tell you what was extremely frustrating to me. When I was growing fast, I'm telling you, I was just putting fires out all day long, and I couldn't understand what I was doing wrong. And then I would go to seminars, or I'd read a book, and it's all PR. Everybody's on a PR tour. All the CEOs are standing there on the stage with their employees saying, oh, I empower my employees, and my employees are my greatest assets. And I'm thinking, this is a literal story. I was watching about a big chain, and they were having an awards thing, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing wrong? Why are they? And I realized it took me a few years to figure it out. They never tell you the reality is some people shouldn't be working at your company. It's a bad fit.
And
they'll never tell you that. So the answer is you need to understand how to hire and you need to understand how to unhire. And that's not pretty and it doesn't make a good PR campaign. But my turnover is low because people enjoy coming to work because they're not having to cover for someone that's not doing their job. That's a problem.
Now, Jay, the last question I had for you was a lot of entrepreneurs, in my opinion, focus too much on raising money. They always say, well, if I only had $1 million, I could do that. Why are people so obsessed with that instead of going get customers that can provide them money?
Well, that's a huge fallacy that most businesses today do not raise money. That's all you ever hear about, but the statistics are way less than 10%. I mean, venture capital is in the low digits, so, you know, 3, 4, 5%. Most people, you know, can't raise money because their idea isn't big enough to support that kind of thing. I just think it's easier if they fit. I personally have never raised money and want no part of it. Now, could I be worth a lot more money if I would have raised money years ago and done? Maybe, but, like, I don't care. I don't want to have to answer to anybody, and when you take money from people, the biggest fallacy in the world is the silent partner. There's no such thing as a silent partner. You take someone's money, you got a partner, and I didn't want to deal with it. So somebody has to, and there are certainly some businesses that have to raise money. They can't possibly fund it themselves. But many businesses, I think you could, in fact, find some customers, you know, and do the bootstrapping.
Well, Jay, where can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more and follow you on the web?
I'm starting to write for Forbes soon in the next couple of weeks, I believe. I'm right here at 1871 Clybourne and Artist Frame Service, Jason Home next door. They can call the store. I'm happy to talk to somebody. Don't ask me to invest in your business. I don't do that.
Exactly. And if they want to reach you, they can find you on Twitter too, right? At @jsmallbiz.
Yes.
Jay, thanks.
All correct.
Thanks so much for being on the show again.
Great. Nice talking to you.
Coming up, I find that people are always getting caught up in chasing more money, more resources, and accomplishing more time. My next guest believes there's actually power in less. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
News Radio, I'm Rich Dennison. The White House is calling for more sanctions on North Korea following its latest ballistic missile test.
The missile reached an altitude of about 1,200 miles, or nearly four times higher than the International Space Station. It splashed down in the ocean. Japan's leader calling the launch unacceptable. The government in Seoul saw it as a snub after South Korea's new president offered to go to Pyongyang for talks.
Fox's Alistair Wanklin. Several FBI director candidates interviewed yesterday at the Justice Department. President Trump promising a fast decision on replacing former director James Comey. President Trump doubling down on a recent tweet that he's considering doing away with the daily White House press briefings.
Unless I have them every 2 weeks and I do myself. We don't have them. I think it's a good idea.
The president in an interview with Fox's Judge Jeanine Pirro. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. Outbound Edens at Wilson, the on-ramp is closed, and that's because of a crash involving a motorcycle. Also on the outbound Kennedy, it's closed between Armitage and Fullerton, and that's because of ongoing police activity. In Dalton, 142nd is closed between Chicago and Cottage Grove. That's closed because of ongoing police activity as well. And also on the south side, Halstead, closed between 18th and Canalport. That's closed for the Renegade Craft Fair. And that continues until 1 a.m. Monday morning. CTA is rerouting the number 8 and the number N62 buses throughout that area. Now taking a look at the current temperature, starting with tonight, it's 48 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow should be around 75 and partly cloudy. Currently it is 58 degrees out there. Pretty clear skies as well. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Growth is key to the success of small business owners, but a lot of companies fail to reach their potential because they can't find enough customers. Maybe because it's competition or not knowing where to find new customers, or maybe it's not having a big enough marketing or sales budget. But there is a new opportunity horizon that every small business can now take advantage of. Simply put, it's the 500 million consumers in China who love to buy online, especially authentic products made in America. They represent an unprecedented opportunity for every American small business to act now. But to make China work for you, there's only one partner you ever need. That's Alibaba, the Chinese version of Amazon and Google, where you can buy and sell anything with hundreds of millions of consumers and suppliers all there waiting for you. Alibaba has done the hard work creating the marketplace. If you want access to this incredible marketplace, you need to learn a lot, but fast. Sure, you can hire a consultant for hundreds of thousands of dollars, or you can watch thousands of YouTube videos and hope you can learn not to make a really big mistake. Or instead, you can attend a two-day Alibaba event in Detroit on June 20th to 21st called Gateway 17. Here you can meet experts, form new business relationships, and learn from companies already in China. In just 2 days, you can know everything you need to know to start growing fast. Gateway 17 has limited availability and expects to sell out fast. And because I know this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for my listeners, I've talked them into an amazing offer. While event passes are still available, save 50% off the registration fee. This is a great growth opportunity for current businesses as well as entrepreneurs. But you can only get this great deal if you go to gateway17.com and enter my code BITALK when you register. This is the only way to get this great offer. Go to gateway17.com. That's G-A-T-E-W-A-Y BitTalk17.com and enter BI Talk when you register. I look forward to seeing you there.
Treat the most important woman in your life to an extraordinary Mother's Day this year at the Bolingbrook Golf Club. It's almost here. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 14th, and your mom deserves the best. Take her to the Bolingbrook Golf Club for an elaborate champagne brunch from 9 to 3, featuring a complimentary glass of champagne or mimosa per adult. Make your reservation for Mother's Day now. Just $42.95 for adults and $22.95 for kids 4 to 12 years old. Visit BolingbrookGolfClub.com for all the details. BolingbrookGolfClub.com.
Tune in to Healthline every week with your host, Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD. This month's special is Quantum Greens Powder, a once-living, naturally potent, vegetarian and gluten-free blend of the finest, most pristine greens from the best sources worldwide. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447.
Join Dr. Bob Marshall for Healthline, Saturday morning at 10 on AM 560, The Answer.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
I find that people are always caught up in chasing more, having more money, more resources, and accomplishing more all the time. My next guest believes actually in the power of less. Scott Sonnenschein is the Henry Gardner Simmons Professor of Management at Rice University and author of Stretch, Unlock the Power of Less and Achieve More Than You Ever Imagined. He holds a PhD in Management Organization from the University of Michigan, and he also has a BA at the University of Virginia. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
First, let's talk about this idea of people are always getting caught up in more. Why is that? Is that because there's so many things, there's more and more and more things coming at us all the time?
They get caught up in more because people assume that the more that they have, the more that they can do. But if you take a look at the research, what it often finds is this remarkable power of less, is that when we find ourselves in situations where we have fewer resources, we can be more creative with the resources we do have and achieve great things.
And so where do people get this idea? Because I really do think you're right. People think if they have more, right, they'll be happier. Where do we get that idea?
Yeah, and it's not only that they think they'll be happier, they think they'll be more successful. And that idea comes from what are called social comparisons. They look around to other people, they look around to other businesses, and they see the resources and tools that those folks have, and they believe that they need those same things in order to succeed. And once, if they happen to receive those tools, they escalate those social comparisons, so they make new comparisons. So it's this never-ending rat race where people are, and organizations are always thinking that they need more to move to that next level of performance and for people to have happiness.
So what do you suggest in the book Stretch?
Well, I think it first starts with recognizing that the resources around you could be put to much greater use. If we're more flexible and creative with what we have, we can get more out of those resources. So once we give up the chase and we stop using all of our energy trying to acquire more, we have a lot more energy and time to think about the resources that we do have. The other thing that I like to recommend is that people get much more comfortable embracing limitations and constraints. In the land of chasing, we think those things are really bad. We think that we're not successful because we don't have a lot of tools. We can't solve a lot of problems. But what the research shows is if you actually embrace those constraints, you'll come up with more creative solutions, because when we find ourselves with constraints, we give ourselves freedom to think about resources in much more expansive ways.
Yeah,
not just use a hammer just to get the nail into the wall.
Yeah,
use our shoe.
I agree with you, Scott, because I remember when I wrote my first book after the bust in 2000, I always told that people could grow themselves broke if they have too much capital, because they have a tendency to waste it.
Right. You squander when you have too many resources, and there's lots of research that shows that organizations, projects, teams, when they have too many resources, they squander it. Why worry when we have more money in the bank? And what's so interesting, if you look at the way that startups evolve, and I was in Silicon Valley during that dot-com boom and bust, and that shaped a lot of the ideas in Stretch. is so many of these companies started as scrappy, resourceful, small businesses. You've got the classic HP garage startup. And then what happens, they end up getting more capital and they feel like they need to spend it in ways that show that they've grown up. They move into nicer offices. They hire as much staff as they can. And when we have all of that abundance around us, we lose that ability to maintain that scrappiness and the thing that made us successful in the first place. So that's the challenge as organizations grow, is how do they maintain that type of stretch that got them to where they are right now?
So how do they do it? Because I think you bring up a good point, Scott. It really is paradoxical. In the very beginning, the small business succeeds because they are bootstrapping. They are being scrappy, right? And then later on, when they have some success, they get a lot of capital. How do you do this?
Well, I think what happens is you've got to put some artificial limits on yourself and realize that just because you have a lot of capital doesn't mean you need to spend it right away. Now, the challenge, of course, is in a lot of venture-backed models, what happens is you raise money, you spend it, so someone gives you more, and magically the value of your business grows up or increases. But if you can be more disciplined and set artificial limits and say just because we have all of these people or all of these resources around doesn't mean we actually need to use it. So deliver a project for 5% under budget or in one less day or with a fewer person. So we have to find ourselves when we're around abundance to put these constraints. Research also shows if we simply think about constraints and we simply reflect about a time when we were facing scarcity, we can also activate the same type of mindset.
But this is really a difficult balance because you also don't want to be undercapitalized or have too few resources. That can also hurt your business.
Right, and a lot of the relationships in the research are what we would call inverted U-shape effects, which in simple language means having too few resources is just as harmful as having too many resources. I think a lot of business owners and people easily recognize that having too few resources, such as capital, is bad. What I don't think they realize is that having too many is just as bad.
I agree. Well, the title of the book is called Stretch, Unlock the Power of Less and Achieve More Than You Ever Could Imagine or You Ever Imagined. Scott, where can people get a copy of the book and get in touch with you?
Anywhere books are sold, you can get a copy on my website, which is www.scottsonnenschein. That's S-O-N-E-N-S-H-E-I-N. ScottSonnenschein.com has lots of great resources about the book and ways of connecting with me.
And I really recommend that people get this book and really realize that they actually can do more if they try to do less. Scott, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, how new cloud-based tools can actually help you manage your finances in your business in a snap. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss. We'll look at the roadways. Outbound Edens at Wilson, the on-ramp is closed with an earlier crash involving a motorcycle. Also on the outbound Kennedy, closed between Armitage and Fullerton with ongoing police activity. In Dalton, 142nd Street is closed between Chicago and Cottage Grove. That's closed with ongoing police activity. And on the south side, Halstead is closed between 18th and Canalport, and that's closed for the Renegade Craft Fair. It continues until 1 a.m. Monday morning. CTA is rerouting the number 8 and the number N62 buses. Finally, on the south side, the White Sox take on the Padres this afternoon at 1:10, so you can expect some heavier traffic later on today. Tonight, 48 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 75 and partly cloudy. Currently, it is 58 degrees out with clear skies. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
In my world of 25 years of marriage, getting my wife flowers is always a great idea. It's even a better idea to get my mother flowers on Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. But I always had problems saying the right gift, and believe me, I don't want to send anybody crap. You see, the company would almost never send what I asked. It seems like they were always running out of roses and substituted carnations instead. They would send old flowers that were picked weeks ago, so they would never open. Well, I finally found a new flower company called Bloom That doesn't cut these corners. flowers. The flowers, they actually are picked right before you order, so they last a lot longer. They're arranged by a designer, so they're Facebook and Instagram ready. And for small business owners, it's super convenient. It takes less than 2 minutes to order. And wait till you see these flowers. There's this wow moment. It's a huge bouquet. You can tell it's handmade. A ton of flowers at the price. The burlap wrap truly adds a premium touch, and it's really different from that cheap cellophane crap the other guys use. And then this filler isn't cheap like the stuff like they call baby's breath, which in my opinion is just weeds, but beautiful and expensive like eucalyptus. The vase, truly a premium touch. Your mom's going to use it for years and be reminded of your thoughtful gift. And now here's the best part. I have an exclusive offer to my listeners for this week only. Bloom That will include at no charge a premium designer vase that costs everyone else $15, plus handmade caramel treats, normally $10, but free to my listeners. That's a huge savings of $25. And here's how to take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to bloomthat.com/insanity. That's bloomthat.com/insanity and find the perfect handcrafted designer flowers. You'll automatically get the premium designer vase and caramel treats, a $25 value. Again, it's bloomthat.com/insanity for premium designer bouquet, free vases, and treats. Don't make your mother lie about the flowers she gets. Can't wait to see them on Facebook.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, small business owners are notoriously bad at finance and their accounting, but now there are new tools in the cloud that can make it easy and provide them with information they need to run their business. Amy Vetter is Chief Relationship Officer of Partner Channels at Xero Americas. She previously worked at Intact Corporation and Intuit, and she was also a small business owner operating a successful accounting services practice. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So why are small business owners so bad at the financial part of their business?
Well, I don't think it's intentionally to be bad. For the most part, with all the small businesses I've worked with over the years, you know, they go into small business because they're really focused on the things that they love to do and why they open the business. And the accounting is something that they don't want to do. It's not
right.
Something that they find fun. And so it ends up being an afterthought instead of being something that is kept up to date to help them make really important decisions in their business.
And let's be honest, Amy, none of them are really trained in this area. So it's hard. It's hard to understand it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, my advice for small businesses when they're starting out is don't be cheap. And it's really hard to not be cheap when you're starting a business because you're having to invest in so many things. But the cost of not doing your accounting right in the beginning can cost you so much later on trying to clean up, get out of trouble, and so forth. So really making sure that you get yourself set up right or catch yourself now and really get yourself on the right track.
And so tell us about some of the new tools that are out there that are in the cloud that really can help the small business owner run their finances better so they can understand where they've been and then they can really know where they're going.
Yeah, so Xero is a cloud accounting software. So what that means is you can access it from any internet web browser or from your phone and be able to keep the information up to date. And one of the great things about having your accounting software in the cloud is it directly connects to your bank accounts so that you can get up-to-date feeds right into your accounting system. And by utilizing a cloud accounting system, once you get your foundation set, which is just your accounting records, after that, you are able to integrate with a lot of the tools that you use in your business every day, like PayPal or Google or Square, and really draw information right into your accounting system so you don't have to duplicate information from one system to the other and have it be manual. You can actually have feeds coming directly in from your bank and information from your POS system and other software that you use right into your accounting system.
And so what kind of skill do you need to have to utilize these kinds of systems? Because it seems like a lot of these with these automatic feeds coming into Xero are actually already done for you.
Correct. So the information, you know, we try to make the software, you know, as simple and beautiful to use as possible for a small business owner. But at the end of the day, it's really important to, you know, have a financial advisor, accountant, CPA, bookkeeper, someone involved with your business to help you make sure that you're coding things correctly. And the advantage of being in the cloud is you can really your accountant can access it, your bookkeeper can access it, you can access it. You're all on the same single general ledger system, so sharing information. You don't have to email back and forth. But that way, if you're looking at that information in your accounting system to make decisions and you have your accountant or bookkeeper keeping that information properly coded, you're going to be able to make some really great decisions for your business on cash flow, budgeting, or, you know, just immediate needs on where costs are going in your business to make sure that you are making the right decisions going forward.
Now, a lot of small business owners, Amy, still think that they're worried about security, right? You have this thing in the cloud, you have all these connections, access to all the money in the bank accounts, and that they really can't trust it, right? What kind of security is in place to make sure that their data really does stay private?
Yeah, so really security, you're using information in the cloud with so many things you use today, whether you're on Google Mail, Office 365, using online banking. And what we do is really connect with all these systems that are secure. And the advantage of being with a cloud accounting software vendor is that we invest a huge amount of money to keep that information secure. So we do all the right audits and privacy work to make sure that that information is protected. What people don't realize is when you're not in the cloud, you're actually probably at more risk because information can be hacked into you. The amount of money and investment that you need to put in to protect that data would nowhere match what a company like Xero is doing and spreading that cost across all of their clients within their licensing fee.
And so really, this is what people really have to get is actually putting the information in the cloud is a lot more secure than keeping on your desktop computer.
Yes, and sharing passwords. And
So I mean, the last question I had for you is how much time really a month should the small business owner dedicate to this?
Well, and I think this is something where if you're doing your accounting properly and really have this set up right and you've got the right experts around you in your business, this should be something that kind of ebbs and flows in your daily life, that you could pull it up at any time, check in on your balances, get the information you need, be able to invoice or pay a bill right on your phone so that it's not interrupting your workday and you don't have to, you know, be out in the field with customers all day and then have to come back for hours and do your accounting. It's all real time right there as you're working.
Amy, we got to go. It's great advice. You can get to Xero at www.xero.com. Amy, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
I was involved in a devastating head-on motorcycle accident, which left me broken, battered, and afraid. I turned to Dr. Amy and Associates to care for my broken body. With their help, I healed quickly. I was able to sleep, and the nightmare stopped. I was able to get back on the motorcycle without fear. Since they worked with my insurance, I've used them for allergy and food sensitivity testing, weight loss, massage, acupuncture, and life coaching. They use both Eastern and Western medicine and is a holistic practice like no other. I am so grateful for Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit dramyandassociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of talk these days about keeping immigrants out of this country. But I believe that small business was built on immigrants, and now having them a part of our country makes this economy stronger. My next guest, immigrant that became the best in his industry, Bedros Koulian, is a best-selling author, speaker, and business consultant. He's the founder and CEO of Fit Body Camp, one of the nation's fastest-growing franchises. Bedros, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Barry. It's a pleasure.
So give us a minute about your story and how you really made it successful in America.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was 6 years old when we immigrated from communist Russia in 1980. And my father was a member of the Communist Party. And, of course, he denounced communism. We escaped the Soviet Union and came into the United States poor, broke, didn't speak English, didn't understand the language or the culture, and of course, we had no money. But he knew he had freedom and opportunity, and my dad brainwashed us, myself and my two siblings, and he said, guys, as long as you work hard, you can do anything you want and become anything you want in this country, but there's one exception, you've got to pay it forward. And in other words, be in service of the country as you get successful. And that's all myself and my siblings have done. And thankfully, we have now become the American dreams.
I mean, it really is incredible to me because it is hard to start and run a business for anybody in America. But imagine coming into the country and being a different culture, not speaking a language. To me, that's nearly impossible.
You're absolutely right. It was near impossible. And in fact, I remember my father not only selling pizzas, delivering newspapers, pumping gas around the clock. The man had never had time to sleep. And I was the breadwinner in the family. And I tell people that my dad used to give me a boost and put me into the dumpsters behind the grocery store so that I can dig up food that had gone bad but wasn't fully rotten.
Wow.
So that we can eat. But when you live a life like that, that challenge, those adversities become an advantage. And you realize later on in life when you go start a business, and anybody who starts a business is going to encounter challenges, adversities, and obstacles, those become the barriers that you break through, knowing that there's success and wealth and happiness and significance on the other side.
So, Bedros, how do you think that being an immigrant actually worked to your advantage? Because it seems like a huge disadvantage to me.
You know what's funny? I'm glad you asked that, because when you're an immigrant in this country, you've probably faced the most amount of adversities there are. Sure, today there's also a lot of help for immigrants. You know, there's handouts and there's the free education, the free health. I get all that stuff. But when you look at what an immigrant does, they come to this country and they are broke. They don't know the culture. Then they want to make it. They are dealing with so many obstacles that instantly it becomes a mental reframe. So that when you go into business, you look at those obstacles as an advantage. They're not new business obstacles anymore because they're just survival obstacles. And for me to survive as an immigrant who came to this country, we had to eat out of dumpsters. My parents had to work multiple jobs. As I grew up, I worked multiple jobs starting at the age of 12. And so I'm not allergic to hard work. Most immigrants aren't. And I've dealt with obstacles well before I ever started a business. So when I dealt with business adversity, that wasn't new to me. It wasn't foreign. And so I was able to crush through them, unlike most people who the first time they deal with any kind of adversity is when they go and start a business and they feel that they need to just lay down and die, which is not what you do when you start a business.
Bedros, I wish we had more time. Thanks so much for being on the show, and thanks for your success. If you want to reach Bedros, you can go to @Bedros, B-E-D-R-O-S, Koulian, K-E-U-I-L-I-A-N, B-E-D-R-O-S, K-E-U-I-L-I-A-N. Bedros, thanks for being on the show, and hope to have you back.
Thank you so much.
And thanks, everyone, for joining this week's radio show. And I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva, Alibaba, and, of course, BloomDat. It's Mother's Day. Go to BloomDat.com and get those flowers, which are really going to impress her. And I want to thank our staff, Sarah Schaffern, Debbie Schreiner, and Courtney Dury. Isn't this the year that you get your small business unstuck? Give me a call, 773-837-8250. Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Balance of Nature's fruits.